Kirsten Baszler is here, another patriot who is taking common sense from her time as a teacher and on school boards to the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, and is back today to talk a little bit about the battles we face in public education to try and indoctrinate our kids rather than educate our kids, and we do need to construct these firewalls. Kirsten, welcome back. Thanks for coming back so quickly to continue this conversation we started on yesterday.
Thanks, Scott. It's good to be here with you.
We have about a minute or so before the break, so I want to give you a chance right now so we don't not get to this to tell us about the Ignite conference that you have coming up and what people can do to participate in that.
So the Ignite conference is occurring right now at Bismarck State Energy Center. Really exciting stuff. We have teachers from all over the state that are learning about computer science and cybersecurity to add to their teaching credentials. So they will be certified and credentialed to teach that as well. This is so important, you know, and I want to make this point that is super clear. As we talk about computer science and cybersecurity, we're not talking about teaching kids to be programmers. That's not what we're talking about when we say computer science. And we are talking about computer science and cybersecurity for kindergarten through 12th grade. And so it's important to distinguish that we're not talking about teaching kids to program at second grade and trying to get them all to be programmers. Not at all what we're talking about. The best example that I can use to explain how important this is when kids enter kindergarten, we have them plant a flower seed or a geranium seed, and we watch them and we teach them that, wow, that seed becomes a plant and it grows. And, you know, that's what we do all across this state, all across this world to feed our nation, right? We do that not because we expect that all of those kids are going to be, you know, growing up to be botanists or horticulturists or even farmers, but we do that because that's the world around them. Same thing. Then in third grade, we teach them about photosynthesis. Every kid in third grade learns about photosynthesis, not because they are going to grow up to be botanists or horticulturists, but because we need them to know what's going on in their world.
That's a very, very, very true. More examples when we come back and more of our conversations with Kirsten Baszler. Your questions, your comments, you're welcome for Kirsten Baszler today, Superintendent of Public Instruction, picking up on our conversation from yesterday where we didn't get time to get to all the calls or the texts. And we're talking about a number of things today on the program. One is a gathering of North Dakota teachers at Bismarck State College to inform their curriculum and interconnect, I would say, is how I would describe this, interconnect what they impart on students related to the possibilities that exist for them in North Dakota. And if you want to pick every threat, if you will, Senator Kevin Cramer just having a conversation with the Joint Chief Chair, General Milley, and saying, really? The President of the United States is over in Europe. He's in front of our troops, and he's saying climate change is the biggest threat. That's what he's saying to them. And very diplomatically, the general said climate change is a threat. It's horrible. It's awful. It's terrible. But it has nothing to do with military.
Yeah. It's in there, but, you know, yeah, down the list.
So anyway, I'll play that. We'll have that on Facebook, the clip, a little later on, because it's a pretty good exchange. He also says, you know, you're trying to rebuild alliances, but then you're poking 8 NATO alliance nations in the eye by giving Putin what he wants with the Nord Stream pipeline. You can't make it up. So, but my point is, we all have, you know, what we think are the big threats. But what I think is a threat to me and my wife Maria is not having opportunities for our kids to live here, raise their families here so we can see our grandkids, take advantage of opportunities here. The threat to me is to say they have to go elsewhere for opportunities. They don't. They don't. So that's why I'm glad you're doing what you're doing with this Ignite ND conference with the teachers, and you were in the process of giving us other examples, so I want to pick up where you left off there. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so I guess the point that I was trying to make is that at this point in time, computer science, knowledge of the technology that we consume every day, that's part of our everyday life. And so as we teach elementary age students about the electrical circuit, it's not because we expect that they're going to grow up to be engineers or to be electricians, but they consume energy and electricity, and we need to let them know how that works. Same thing, you know, with our circulatory system or about how our body works. So computer science, cybersecurity has become foundational in every one of our children's lives, every one of our lives. We don't make a dinner reservation now in a larger city without using OpenTable. We use apps to order food all the time instead of picking up the telephone. And so it is critical that our young people understand how that works. Just like we teach photosynthesis, just like we teach when you put a plant, a seed in the ground, it grows into a plant. Because without that, our young people are just going to continue to be consumers of technology and not creators of it. And we have to understand that computer science, cybersecurity is a foundational piece of knowledge. Either technology is going to control them or they're going to control it by understanding and knowing it. And so that's
what is happening.
Is to make sure that every one of our schools within the state of North Dakota has that foundation. So that's what we're doing this week. Next year, this is our first annual Ignite 2021. So if you didn't get it this year, please be on the lookout. We Department of Public Instruction is paying for registration, and you can get 4 days of credit for this and add it to your teaching credential or your teaching
license. Well, I think it's a great vision. I really do. And I think integrating all the opportunities here, all the, what you're describing gives them a better chance to stay here with things that are happening here. And also, you know, gives them better tools, equipping them for whatever is next. And so I think that's great to start with the teachers there. Ruger in Golden Valley, question for Kirsten Basler. Go ahead, Ruger.
Good morning. My question is, this couple months ago in Bismarck, they had this guy come in teaching critical race theory, and he's a big 16-19 project guy. His name is Isaiah McGee, and I'm not quite sure how that guy even got in here to do this. I called Bismarck Public Schools, and they told me that the principals of these schools that allowed this guy in there, which was Walker, Horizon, and Legacy, they didn't have any idea who let this guy come in here or what he was getting paid or anything. And, you know, some teachers who were in these, they were called training meetings, but what it was pretty much telling all these teachers that there's systemic racism here and how racist white people are, and this whole list of things I read, them ridiculous things of what white people say and what it really means. And when he left, he said, we got a lot of work to do here, and he wanted to come back. And then people in Bismarck Public Schools need to admit, you know, the systemic racism and white supremacy exists here. I'm curious how that guy could ever, somebody would ever approve of that guy coming into our schools and saying that. I mean, how does that happen? How do we not let somebody like this Isaiah McGee come back here?
Well, thank you very much. I'm not familiar with Isaiah McGee, and I'm not familiar with the training that occurred. But I first of all want to thank you. I think you did exactly the right thing by contacting the teachers in the local school districts, because that's the answer. That's the fundamental answer to your question. And I think it's important. You know, I spoke a little bit yesterday that North Dakota, it's expected that the Department of Public Instruction, the state legislature, the Constitution has actually directed the legislature to set forth paths for the superintendent to do. And one of those is to set standards for all of our subject area content, so math, science, English. And so in North Dakota, the social studies standards for middle and high school is that we do expect in the state standards that schools address racism and how it's evolved over time. We expect that schools study inequality and how it impacts groups. In elementary school, we expect that students are taught to tolerate and respect differences between people, and that means black, white, Catholic, Jewish, you know, you name it, that differences in people is respected, not just race, and to recognize that, you know, people have not always been treated equally. I mean, that's a fact, right? So state standards are expected, but the standards are what is supposed to be taught, how it is taught, is completely left up to our local school districts. North Dakota has a long tradition of local school control, and the legislature has been very clear that the superintendent of public instruction will not tell schools what curriculum or how to teach things and or what they cannot use. And so, nor should I. I mean, the state should not be telling a school district what or how to teach things, just what needs to be expected in the state standards. So I think it's important that the fundamental question is, finding out what is exactly being taught in your children's school or in your local school, even if you don't have children. I mean, this is our public school system impacts all of us. So even if you don't have children in school, please lean in, find out how it's being taught. My expectation, you know, I don't go into Bismarck Public Schools and say, what are you doing for professional development? I mean, there's 450 buildings. The legislature would not want me to do that, to go into Center North Dakota and say, so tell me what you're using. Tell me how you're teaching this. They clearly want the state superintendent to stay in the lane of set the standards and leave it up to local school boards to determine how it is being taught.
But I would inject this. Yesterday you said unequivocally, critical race theory is not being taught in North Dakota, period, right? And yet, what he just described is critical race theory being used in in-service for middle school teachers in Bismarck, and only one middle school had the cojones to say, no thanks, we're going to opt out. And the school district and their superintendent, Hornbacher, defended it by saying, well, they can opt out. So we're indoctrinating the teachers with this. That's another way for it to get in. And, you know, school board member in Fargo, look at his social media. Look at what he has done in the pathway to police or the pathway to prison program that is a tenet of critical race theory. So I couldn't agree with you anymore that this is up to people to know what's being taught. And that's fantastic advice. And I hope everybody hears it, because it isn't on one person, the superintendent of public instruction. But when you say critical race theory isn't here, and you have in-service instruction with someone of this background coming in to teach middle schools, isn't that something that you can at least sound the alarm on to say, wow, why are you doing this, people?
So, Scott, I think that's a super good point. And I think the challenge right now is, what is critical race theory? So I've dug into it up until before February of this year. I really had no idea what critical race theory was. I mean, and so I had to dig deeply into it. And at this point, I do know that there are some curriculums that are actually being, have been created and written that are soundly based on critical race theory and the writing of the 1619 Project. There are also, you know, other curriculums, and I think I may have mentioned this to you. So I do know that some of our school districts are doing cultural response training, and that is also CRT. So ask the questions. Yes, if critical race theory is something that I don't believe is right to be taught in our elementary, middle, or high school schools at any way, shape, or form. But I do embrace the understanding that, you know, area schools in the Bismarck-Mandan listening area, we have, you know, the average graduation rate for some of our high schools, or for all of our high schools in the state, is 89%. For Native American students, it's 73%. Some of our high schools in this area, they are in the low 40s, upper 30s. Schools are being expected to graduate all of our children. Okay, I'm going to use students with disabilities, and that's also equity and being culturally responsive to what a student with special needs is growing up and what their challenges are. 52% of our students with special needs graduate, compared to 90% of our graduation rate overall. Schools must graduate all of our students ready if we're going to have a successful state. So while I support teachers getting better at teaching individual students and recognizing that they come to us with different backgrounds, students that have grown up in historical poverty, and we have a lot of those in North Dakota, their culture is different than those families, those students that come to us with means, and middle-class families and upper-middle-class families. So I do support our teachers becoming more in tune and receiving training on how to teach individual students differently.
Yeah, isn't that called the golden rule? Haven't we been teaching that forever?
Right.
I mean,
right.
So to say, hey, treat somebody like you treat themselves. I don't need anybody come in and train me on that. If I do, I ought not be a teacher.
Well, sometimes we all bring our own perspectives to the classroom. If we've grown up in an upper middle class family with means, we may not be aware really how the challenges are when you have grown up in historical poverty and your mom and your dad are working three jobs. So it's okay, but when it is solely based on race, Scott, I think we're both saying the same thing. When it is only based on the color of your skin, and we're presuming that white supremacy is intentional in every classroom, that's where we begin to have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the whole mantra here is be less white. That's racist. It's inherently racist. We're late. More comments from Kirsten Baszler when we come back.
Hello. And
Kirsten Baszler, who is the superintendent of public instruction in North Dakota. Ryan has a question. Go ahead, Ryan. You're up on What's on Your Mind for the superintendent of public instruction.
Well, more of a comment, actually, and it kind of gets to, you know, the question of what critical race theory is. Essentially, it has its roots in Marxism. The idea of Marxism being, of course, you pit the poor against the wealthy in order to foment a revolution. Well, what in America, we don't have that kind of stratification between the poor and the wealthy. So critical theory is about how do you criticize the power structures to get to a revolution. The critical race theory is just about applying broader critical theory to questions of race relation. You know, if we have a tolerant society, if we realize Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of, you know, recognizing people's character rather than their skin color, then that's not revolutionary, according to the critical race theorists, and that's what they're after.
It is. It's racism. We just need to be less white. That's racism in reverse. It has no absolute, even a scintilla of role in education among our kids in taxpayer-funded facilities that we can say, no, I don't think so. And I think Kirsten Baszler's given everybody the best advice. Get involved. Find out. Just because somebody tells you it's not being taught, look at the textbooks. Ask the local officials on your school board. Have what, 80% of this, Kirsten, 90%? I mean, I have seen some things where the legislature in other states is making it very clear this will not be taught here. Does that, if they do that, does that give the public more tools against having the local schools be more careful about in-service training or textbooks? Would that be a good approach? Would you welcome that?
So, again, that is actually a good point. The legislature acts as my school board, if you will. I have the authority to do or not to do exactly what the state legislature says I can or cannot do. So so just think of it that way. The state legislature is the state school board, if you will. And whatever they say has authority I have to do, then I can do. And right now they have not given me the authority to enter into curriculum on any area, on the how it's taught, just the what's taught. So that's a really good point. And, you know, I think that caller before just had a really, really good point. You know, you've talked about the golden rule, Scott, and that's what we're embracing is the golden rule. Make sure that we're treating people fairly, equitably. And critical race theory really, truly goes a bit further than that. The oppressed, and he's right. It has its kind of its roots in Marxism. That those that have been oppressed, it's not enough to have people being treated equally. The oppressed are now saying power must be given to the oppressed to make up for the many, many years of oppression. And that essentially is fundamentally what the critical race theory is. The best of my knowledge and what I can gather from what I've read, and I've done some deep reading on this, and so it's about making sure that the power is now taken from those that have it now and given to those that have been historically oppressed.
Texter says this is the second interview when she seems to be blaming the legislature and local school districts. I hope everyone heard racism is a North Dakota standard to be taught. After listening, I have no idea what she thinks.
No. So let me be clear about my position on critical race theory. My personal position is that critical race theory in the 1619 projects is racism by another name. I mean, let's just be clear about that. The core assumptions should not be within our North Dakota schools. What I'm saying is that our state standards, what the Department of Public Instruction has been given authority by the legislature to weigh in on, our state standards do not embrace or say that we should be teaching racism by another name. Our state standards do say that we should be teaching in our elementary schools, tolerating and respecting people's differences, recognizing that that hasn't always occurred in our nation's history, and studying the impact on how inequality has impacted our groups. and certain groups, whether they be students with disabilities, whether they be students of a different race, whether they be females that didn't have the vote up until the early 20th century. That is what our state standards require. What I'm saying is that the Department of Public Instruction has never been, nor should it be, in my opinion, have the authority to go into a local school district and say, you must use this textbook, you must use this worksheet, you must use this on how to teach the standards. If the legislature so chooses to give the state superintendent that authority, of course I will carry out the mission. It's my sworn oath of duty to carry out the mission of what the legislature tells me to do, but it also swears and binds me to not go further and go into local school districts and say, this must be taught or this mustn't be taught.
We'll leave it there for today. Kirsten Basler, Superintendent of Public Instruction, thank you. By the way, I did get some reports where rain is still needed, so prayers welcome for prayer for rain, Minot, and East, and also the Ellendale area. Started that at the beginning of the show. Wanted to know. Those are two. God bless you. See you tomorrow.